And before I bring our speaker up here, just for her benefit, I'd like to see the hands of all of the committee members in the room this morning. Hold your hand up. Seventeen committee members out of a possible 22. I think that's wonderful. How about the GSRs? It's like most of them are GSRs. Well, that's wonderful. So to give her all the time she needs, I want to give you my friend and your friend, Beth, from my General Service office in New York.
Thank you, Virgil. He made it hard for me to get started when he started to talk about where we came from. Because as he was talking, I couldn't help but go back and go over my last drunk and where I was. If anyone had told me that I would be down here, you were going to be sober for a few 24 hours and you'd be in Georgia, sharing in there, get together, and have all these friends, I would never have believed it. It's indeed a miracle. As Virgil said, my name is Beth Coleman, and I am an alcoholic. I am a member of the Manhattan Group in New York City and a member of your General Service staff. And it is your office. I was a fortunate alcoholic because I was introduced to service early in my AA life, although at the time I didn't have the capacity to be grateful for it. I was just grateful to be sober and to be accepted. But as I look back on it now, AAs were wonderful to me because they gave me every opportunity to share and to help another alcoholic. I knew that I belonged to something very special and very wonderful. And I can remember being very upset if I heard anyone say, well, AA couldn't help this person, because I thought AA was the most wonderful thing in the world and I wanted to hear nothing sad about it. I still feel the same way. I still feel it's the most wonderful thing in the world that could happen to me and to every alcoholic. But my sponsor worked in the General Service Office. I didn't know quite what she was doing there. I knew she was very busy. I knew she was doing something that she loved. She was staying sober, and that she was helping, and she was growing herself. But I was very busy with my own group. I was being framed into the coffee detail, which was a lifesaver for me. And that, I believe, was my first opportunity to be of service. But I had another gal at this group who knew me very well, and she knew that I would never volunteer for anything because I just wasn't the aggressive type. So she asked me one Monday night to help her with the coffee. And I said I would. And then she disappeared, and I was on it for about a year. This saved my life, and she did it. See how these things work out for you? Because it gave me something to do, to keep busy, to serve, to hold my hand out, which was very painful. I couldn't hold my hand out to anyone. As I look back now, this is the beginning of my AA service life, and it's wonderful, because things got easier. And these AAs who were there before me took the time to tell me about the things that I could do all along. And they seem to be such a right timing for them, because I can remember my first year going down to our intergroup office with my group and answering the phone so that when the alcoholic called for help, someone could go out and help him, just like the call at the DeSoto Hotel. We'd have people available to go down. I learned that there were many things that one individual group and individuals were not able to do on their own, that the intergroup office was needed, and it had a lot of things to do, such as provide a weekly bulletin so that AAs all over could share news in the area, provide a meeting list so that every alcoholic could know where to go to a meeting, arrange for speakers to be at meetings so that you and I could identify when we came to a meeting, we could hear someone tell about their experience, and then we would feel at home. All of these things. There was one misunderstanding on my part. I thought these girls were terrible to get paid for 12-step work, working in this intergroup office. And I can remember going down there, and in 1955, there I was on a paid job at the intergroup office. And my thinking had changed. In fact, my thinking changes as I go along about every day about things. There's so much to learn, and I'm trying to learn it. But I realized that the paid girls in the office were making 12-step work possible. We didn't do the actual 12-step work. It was all done by volunteer members of AA who were doing this in their AA recovery. But the paid workers made it available so that it could be done. And this made sense to me. It was a wonderful experience working at the intergroup office, and I stayed there until 1959. And then I began to become interested and aware that AAs were staying sober outside of New York City, which was a shock to me at first. But there are over 350,000 of us today, and thank God for that. I found that there was an office where a handful of people, committees and staff members and delegates, were very interested in the Fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous and were taking a daily look at it, seeing what was good for AA for that day, looking to the future, guarding our tradition so that AA will always be here for the alcoholics still to come. I was shudder to think where I would be if AA hadn't been there strong and healthy for me. And so in 1959, I had the privilege of becoming a part of the staff at your office, and it is yours. This amazes people when you tell them. They come in, non-alcoholics especially. They want to know where we get our money. How do you keep this big office? Because we are large now. We're a whole floor in a loft building in New York. And people are amazed because they expect to see some tiny little room. They have no idea we're as large as we are and with groups all over the world. And when we say, sort of proudly, we are self-supporting, they can't believe it. And they can't believe our one primary purpose is just to carry the message of AA. They think we should get in there sometimes and build rehabs and do all sorts of things. But it's been working for us. It's been tested. And it's been wonderful. When I started in the office, there were 5 gals. Now we're growing. We've grown to 6 and now 7. 7 girls who are members of AA, and 1 man. And we are full-time, and the man is Herb, who's part-time. And I used to say when I was introducing him around the office that he was a part-time AA, but he's not. He's a part-time employee. He's been in AA a lot of years and sober right straight through. And he's what, if there were bosses in AA, I guess you would call Herb sort of our boss or coordinator. He keeps a good eye on us and keeps things rolling. We love him. I'd like to go through the office and introduce all the gals to you. You've met a lot of them, maybe all of them. But it's hard for me to really bring it alive, but I hope that I can describe a little bit of what's being done there that you are all doing. Our first assignment is, first of all, of course, we have rotations, which means we rotate assignments every 2 years. And I can remember Hazel telling me when I first started to work in the office that there was an advantage to rotation. First of all, it helps you to get to know all the jobs so that you can always fill in on everything in case someone is out, which is very good. And the second reason is that just when you think you know all the answers and you're on top of everything, you're switched over and you don't know anything. And this is good for us in AA sometimes. And that's the state I'm in right today. I've been shoved over, and I'm a month on a new assignment. So I'm feeling my way along, but I have a lot of help. The other staff members who have been on the assignment are always available, And we have files in the office that go back. Every bit of correspondence that has come in from all your groups and from every group is in the office so that I can go back and research it and find out exactly what has been done in the past. And this is a lifesaver. Our staff coordinator is Eve, who has been in the office second longest. She's responsible for the supervision of the staff, sort of. She's like a supervisor, and she sees that we all take our vacations at the right time. She sees that my assignment is covered now while I'm down here, and things of this kind. But her principal assignment is to keep all of the correspondence moving. That is our actual main job. We receive a lot of correspondence, and it's always our best. We try to make our best effort to answer it all as it comes in. And Eve now is coordinating this and sees to it that all of our correspondence is answered within a certain time, which is good. We have a new assignment. Because of our additional staff member, a new assignment has come along in Hazel, who incidentally had been at Intergroup just before I had. I had known Hazel a long time. She's been a great help to me. She'd been at Intergroup, and I followed her in there when she moved up to the General Service Office in 1955. And I think today there are still phone calls going into the Intergroup asking to talk to Hazel, because I know I used to get them, and I say she's no longer here. They all love her. And she's on this new assignment, which she won't have correspondence this year, but she's going to be working on matters affecting the office as a whole. She will coordinate the exchange bulletin. And incidentally, I'd like to inject here a little bit of news. Carl Louise, who was out in Michigan last month attending a convention, got a suggestion from a member out there that she brought back to the office. We've been looking for a new name for the bulletin for a long time. The exchange bulletin sort of doesn't say much, really. So the next one, which will be mailed November 20th, will have a new name, and it's going to be called Box 459. Does that sound all right? I'll be calling it the bulletin for the next year, but we'll get used to it, and we'll see how it works out. Let's try it anyway. She's going to work, Hazel will be working on conference displays that go out, see that they're updated and routing them, the tape. She's on that assignment, Jerry. And she will develop and improve procedures in working with other department heads generally, which is something we've never done before. She will work with Dennis in the accounting department, Kleina in Steno, and work out a procedure where our work can be done in a more efficient manner. And she's been doing wonderfully well on it now. She's working on all letters that go out of the office. We have standard letters, you know, for institutions, and she's working on these. And now our conference secretary is Midgey. She came to us from the Boston Central Office. And she has the wonderful assignment of being in touch with all delegates for the next 2 years. And she's right in there like she's always been on it. With the cooperation of all the delegates, she and everyone involved, of course, she arranges for the annual meeting to be held next April, our AA business meeting. And she's in touch with delegates throughout the year until the meeting, and she has monthly letters that she'll write, passing along news to all delegates. The conference is the voice of AA. Bill has turned the fellowship over to all of us in AA, and so the conference has been structured so that all of our voices can be heard. And it's a very beautiful experience to attend a General Service Conference, and I don't think I'll ever get over the feeling. I started to work the first week in April, and the conference was the next week. Needless to say, I didn't know much of what was going on, but I couldn't escape the love and the warmth that emanated from this gathering. You couldn't buy the knowledge and the stability and just everything good in the room. It was just wonderful. I know you've all heard, a lot of you have heard Bill say, the future of AA belongs to all of us. This conference, I believe, is a tool for shaping all of this, and we're all part of it. The assignment that I just rotated from is the public information, which was exciting for me. It's a little different because we weren't in touch with AAs as much. It was mostly with non-alcoholic newspaper people and writers and people interested in knowing about AA. And we had a busy year because of our convention in Toronto. There was a lot of information to be gotten out. And I understand now that you all are state of Georgia are just starting your public information activities through your service committee. And we, of course, want to do all we can to be of help so that anyone interested, we do have a PI kit available, which includes about 17 items. They're guidelines to help individuals and committees to make AA available to the public upon invitation. We don't go around promoting, but we want to have it available when asked. So if anyone would like to have a kit, let me know and I'll be glad to send it down to you. There's background editorial material, material for TV, our annual report, our news release went out, as you know, every year AA prepares a report to the public, which will give the growth of AA during the past year. And it's a little pamphlet that has been made up, and it's a throwaway. But this year, it was suggested that a new system be used, and it worked out very successfully, that this report be incorporated into a news release itself and mailed rather than directly to media from our office, which we've done in the past. We would do the mailing to newspapers. It was mailed out to local PI committees and contacts, and they, in turn, put in local statistics and got it to their local papers. And this response is, really was the answer, because the local AAs did a good job. They best they could, unless they people weren't interested. But where the papers were interested, it was printed. We have a clipping service, and so we picked up all of the clippings, and we saw that it was picked up all over the United States and Canada. And this is wonderful. As I mentioned earlier, I don't know if I did mention that. Well, I'm on a different assignment, but I didn't say what. It's the non-English overseas. And I have trouble with English, so we're lucky in the office because we have a lot of help again. We have two non-alcoholic gals who are translators. And they do all of our Spanish letters, and we get an awful lot of letters from South America and Central America and Spain in Spanish. In fact, just about rotation time, I was lucky because I could meet three of these Spanish members from Colombia, South America. One was an intergroup delegate. One was a Class B, an alcoholic trustee of their new board that they are just forming. And one was, he was chairman of their conference that they're just forming. Now they came up so that they could find out all about the office because they've opened the general service office and they have one man in it now, and they're starting off as Bill did with his non-alcoholic secretary, Ruth Hock, and I can see that this office will grow too. They are now supplying and providing literature for South America so that when letters, they're taking over this service now on their own, services that your general service office in New York had previously provided. But it was fun meeting these three people. One of them had been in Toronto, so I'd met him before. They don't speak English, but we have our interpreters. And it seems that the Class B trustee, they had a little problem. And it seems that the Class B trustee had been going around to their group in the area, scolding them, telling them the things that they ought to do, and yelling and having an awful time of it. And he was sort of like the boss. And they were asking us what they do because the groups were a little mad at him. So the surprising thing, he was sitting right there as this story was being told about him. And he looked up and he said, well, I can't help it in Spanish. He said, I can't help it. It runs in my family. He just has to go around telling everybody off. But we kindly told him that we carry out the group, the wishes of the group, that if there are any bosses at AA, it's the groups are, you know. And it was wonderful. And he took this and with a wonderful spirit. They want us to know how to set up their board and the various committees, you know, their literature committee, so that they can provide literature, all and translate all of our literature into Spanish, which has been done. They had a little trouble knowing the difference between a central office and a general service office. There was some confusion, so we tried to help them with this and explain the different services. I felt I was lucky because I feel meeting someone in person like this brought me a little closer to South America. There's three AAs right now in New York. I hope I see them when I get back Monday, who came up for Bill's dinner today from Honduras. And they don't speak English, but we have interpreters lined up. We have a Spanish-speaking group in the city, and one of the members, Jose, is always available, and he's wonderful to help us on this. We had a nice experience. This is a PI, a public information thing, and yet it has to do with an overseas area. It's from Mexico. A woman came in, a young woman, who is a writer from Mexico, and she had done an article about AA in a Mexican magazine, and she was overwhelmed with AA. She had gone to the intergroup in Mexico City, and 50 AAs took care of her, took her around, and she really got to see AA, and she loved it in New York, but she's living in Mexico. She's supposed to visit her folks, and she stopped in the office because she wants now to do an article for the American market about AA. And she was willing to do anything that we suggested. So Murray, who is chairman, who is a trustee and a chairman of our public information committee, thought that he hadn't seen over the years an article about AA that would describe a typical meeting, perhaps. You know, so we get funny ideas of what AA meetings are like. I know I did. I thought it would be a bunch of holy rollers or else they're a bunch of low-bottom alcoholics, so to speak, you know, from the Bowery and all. So he thought that it might be nice if she could put in writing a regular AA group and so that maybe an alcoholic would know what to expect. So she liked that suggestion, and we hope that she'll do this. But she will submit all of her work to the office, to the committee, and work with the Public Information Committee to do her material. She's also doing an article about Al-Anon. She went to the Al-Anon office, and Alice King. She's very interested. And it so happened, the way things work, when she came into the office, the public information secretary from Al-Anon was in the office, just there. And so they went down to the conference room, and they had a long chat. So we'll see what happens there. And needless to say, this overseas is very exciting. And they're also grateful for what all of you are doing here, because they're going through what we all went through, you know, 20 years ago, and they need an awful lot of help, and they're always expressing their gratitude to their friends here. I brought some bulletins along while I'm on the overseas. I'd like you to see, we not only have the, I was going to say exchange bulletin, box 459, there are other bulletins that we prepare. Some are bi-monthly, some are monthly loners meetings. These are for loners. This goes out every 2 months. We have over 600 loners listed in the office. This is our bulletin in Spanish. This tells about Bill's anniversary. This, I'm sorry, is not Spanish. What's the matter with me? French. I'm learning. This is French. At least I could tell the difference. Which is a progress, believe me. I must have a Spanish one, yes. There it is. This is the October and November issue of the Spanish Bulletin. And these bulletins, the French and Spanish, and Loners Meeting, and the Round Robin for Internationalists, are made up from the letters we receive from the individuals themselves. Lots of times in the Spanish bulletin, as it's been done in the past, and I think I'd like to continue to do it since I'll be doing this bulletin, is to cover different traditions, because they have a lot of problems, especially with our self-support in South America and these countries. So that we'd like to cover, for instance, in this issue, we went over our seventh tradition of self-support once again for them. This is our latest PI bulletin. This is the fifth one that's come out. And we have, as I said, this is the fifth one, so if any of you would like to have the ones previous, It covers various topics, such as speaking at non-A meetings and contact with radio and television. And it's all a local area experience, how it's being done in other areas. The World Directory is prepared in the office. I don't know if any of you have seen it. This is startling color. The gal who was in the records department and in charge of this selected the color, and her name is Rose. This year, I think it's going to be in the green family. I think she said something about it. Here's our conference report, which is the same color. If any of you would like copies of this, do let me know, and I can always send them to you. This is a report of the meeting that Virgil and all of you past delegates have attended in the past, and this gives a whole resume of AA business that's conducted this past year in New York. Now, I'd like to, in mentioning the World Directory, to my knowledge, this is a first in Georgia. Our procedure for updating this directory is about this time, the cards go out, are mailed out, information cards are mailed to all groups, asking for the GSR, which is, as you know now, the 15th General Service Conference approved all mailing from the office to go to the General Service representatives of your group. The cards will go out, and the deadline is December 15th for it to appear in the new directory, the 67th. And it'll come out in April, just around conference time. Now this year, the directory cards, the blanks, are going to be mailed here to your committee in Georgia. And you're going to do the work for us here. You're going to contact your groups, and I think this is going to be a wonderful thing because we'll really get up-to-date information. Some of us, you know, they get the card maybe and put it aside, and we don't get the information. And if we don't get it, then it goes in inaccurately in the directory. So I think this is going to be a wonderful thing, and we're all looking forward to see the result of this. And it's also being done, Georgia is the first in the United States, but it's also being done in the foreign countries that have their own General Service Office now, like in Germany and in Medellin, South America, and London. They're going to do the cards for us, so that we should really have an up-to-date directory eventually, because sometimes now it isn't quite. You go to look at it and, you know, people aren't there anymore. So, thanks for that experiment now. We'll be seeing how that works out. I haven't really covered half of the things that are done in the office, but the services there have grown from just answering letters and postcards, with Bill doing it himself, to a staff of 45, of which I mentioned earlier, 8 are alcoholics and the rest are non-alcoholics. And the Grapevine and the General Service Office are all located on one floor. We outgrew one space over on 44th Street, and now we're slowly pushing out of this one. I hope you all will have a chance to come by and see it, because it belongs to you, and we need your help. I didn't mention institutions before. Cora Louise is on this assignment, because I wanted to close with a letter we received in the office, but these are not being mailed yet. They're just, we had early copies, but these are the new hospital and prison directories. Rose picked these, too. I like But they'll be starting to be mailed out to you soon, and you'll be getting them. If you should want copies, let me know. So I would like to close this morning thank all of you for having me and for listening, and please feel free to ask any questions. I don't have any answers. If I don't, I can always find out. This letter came from a man who is now in the free world. He had been in a prison doing life, and through AA, he's now out, a free man with a family and living a nice life. And I met him in Chicago this spring. And when I got back, he sent this letter into the office. He just felt like sharing his thoughts, and I'd like to share them with you. Back in 1944, there was only one active prison AA group in the country. That was Warden Duffy's San Quentin group in California. Tim, who was an inmate there, had finally been given permission to start a group at the Indiana State Prison in Michigan City. And your New York office was our only contact for ideas, information, and suggestions. They put us in contact with Warden Duffy's gang and with the sprouting AA group in South Bend, Indiana. I remember that for the first year, your office was the only mailing privilege that Tim was permitted by our prison authorities at the institution. And there was an endless chain of letters between him, your office, and between our office and San Quentin. For several years, AA activity at the prison was watched by the officials with considerable skepticism. Concessions were slow in coming, and if it had not been for the careful shepherding of your office, we would have died of boredom. Literature was scarce, and you furnished what little we had until Harry, deceased, became our outside contact, and he went begging for it. I remember the first copy of the Big Book, which you sent, and the eight of us trying to find the way typed 17 copies of the whole book on newsprint stolen from the parole office. Those were strange days. We were viewed with suspicion by all. Even the few outside members who were permitted to come in and talk to us often acted as though we were a different breed. I'm sure that if it had not been for the constant, calm, reassuring letters that came from the General Service Office, even old Tim, deceased, the inmate who was the only one who really believed the program might work, would have given up. The letters from your office maintained and sustained him, and he sure needed it. Tim stuck because of your concern. I stayed because of Tim's care and concern for all of us. All this is a long-winded way of telling your office that through Tim, you eventually began to get through to a very frightened, frustrated human being who walked around with a great big load of anxiety hanging on his back. This miserable human being was very meek when sober, but the whole pot of hate and resentment boiled over when he drank, and he had accumulated numerous arrests for drunkenness, always with a vicious assault attached. Three assaults with intent to kill, and finally a killing. Three attempts to take his own life, and finally he did take it. He took it to the program of Alcoholics Anonymous and turned it over to the care of God as suggested. Since that day, he has had many problems, but no real trouble. Because the trouble he turned over to God and the problems he has helped with, the guy in question was me. Thank you for caring.